I'm going to read a verse. Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm going to read the verse itself, but for the commentary, I'm going to give a different commentary by Srila Prabhupada than the one he's given to the actual verse, but it's about the verse. It's 7th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 9, text 19. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nishana nartasya chagadam udantpati majito nao tattasya tat pratividik vidhir ya ihanja sheshtas tabar vibho tanubhutam tvad upekshatanam. Translation. My Lord Nrisingadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they may accept, they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, father and mother.
Mic is not working.
Well,
it's not working. It's not good for you.
If it's not working, I'm not sure what I can do.
I know. Everyone can hear you. Can everybody hear?
We can hear.
You can hear. Okay, good. Because I can't go any louder than this.
Could have done it all, man.
Oh, that
helps.
It doesn't always necessarily mean it's going to work, but it helps.
It depends on, yeah.
For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician in medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. And a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. This is a commentary from Srila Prabhupada about this verse, but it's from a different place. If you are convinced that, quote, I am part and parcel of Krishna, then even there is greatest difficulty, position of your life, that is surrender. You know Krishna will give you protection. You try your best, you use your intelligence, but I believe in Krishna. Valasya neha pituro nishingha. If Krishna neglects, no other remedy can protect you. No other measure can protect you. Don't think, suppose one is deceased. Many expert physicians treating him. Nice medicine is offered. Is that guarantee for his life? No, that is not guarantee. If Krishna neglects, in spite of all these good physicians and medicines, he will die. And if Krishna protects him, even if he has no expert treatment, he'll still survive. So one who is fixed up in Krishna, fully surrendered, and one of the points of surrender is that Krishna will protect me. Then you are happy. Just like the child, he's fully surrendered to the parents, and he is confident that, quote, my father is there, my mother is there. So he's happy. Kadaham akantika nitya kinkara. If you know that somebody is there, who is my patron, who is my savior, are you not very happy? But if you do everything on your own account, at your responsibility. Are you happy? Similarly, if you are convinced in Krishna consciousness that Krishna will give me protection, and if you are true to Krishna, that is the standard of happiness. You cannot be happy otherwise. That is not possible. Eko bahunam vidadati karma. That is the fact. Even in your rebellious condition, Krishna is giving you protection. Without Krishna's protection, you cannot live even for a second. Be so kind. But when you admit it, when you recognize it, then you become happy. Now Krishna is giving you protection, but you do not know it because you have taken your life at your own risk. Therefore, he has given you freedom. All right, do whatever you like. As far as possible, I will give you protection. But when you fully surrender, the whole charge is to Krishna. That is special. That is special protection. Just like a father, the child who has grown up doesn't care for the father. He's acting freely. What the father can do? All right, do whatever you like. But the child who is fully under the protection of the father, he takes more care. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, you'll find. Samoham sarvabhuteshu. I am equal to everyone. Name dvesha. Nobody is my enemy. How can he be envious? Everyone is Krishna's son. How he can become enemy to Krishna? He is son. That is not possible. He is friend of everyone. But we are not taking advantage of his friendship. That is our disease. That is our disease. He is friend to everyone. Samoham sarva bhuteshu. But one who is recognizing, he can understand that Krishna is giving me protection in this way. This is the way of happiness. This is from a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave in 1969 in Los Angeles. From Bhagavad Gita. He's quoting the verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which I read in the beginning. It's a verse I oftentimes quote. I like it. It's this verse spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. He's speaking to his classmates. And he, the verse itself says, due to a bodily conception of life, embodied souls who are neglected and not cared for, actually he's speaking to Lord Mishinga, it's his prayer to Lord Mishinga. Embodied souls who are neglected and not cared for by you, they cannot do anything for your betterment, for their betterment. So, when we hear this verse, I know when I first heard the verse, I had to think about it for a while. What does it mean to be neglected by Krishna? And Prabhupada actually even addressed that a little bit here. He says that Even in your rebellious condition, Krishna is giving you protection. Without Krishna's protection, you cannot live even for a second. He's so kind. So he says that even those who are rebellious against Krishna, Krishna is giving his protection. And that is that his protection comes in the form of facilitating our desires. He's giving us, because as Prabhupada oftentimes explains, that not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. Nothing can happen without Krishna's sanction. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also explains how the Lord is giving sanction as the super soul is in the heart. And he gives sanction and he bears witness. This is his two functions. As we know, there are different manifestations of the Lord. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan Iti, Shabdite, Padati Tat Tatvidas, Tatvajajjana Advayam. The three features of the Absolute Truth, of the three manifestations, are the, as the verse says, learned transcendentalists who know this Absolute Truth, they call this dual, non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. One of the features of the Lord is his impersonal aspect, which he describes in Bhagavad Gita, Mayatatam Vidam Savam, Jagadavyaktim Murtina. He says, by me and my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. So Krishna describes how he pervades entire creation through his diverse energies. This is his impersonal aspect, the energies of the Lord. Brahmeti. Paramatmeti is how he manifests as the super soul within the heart of all living beings. Ishvara sarvabhuta nam hridesha yuvatishtati, as Krishna says. He also explains that seated within everyone's heart, it can become remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. In so many places in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says how he is situated within everyone's heart and how he is dictating within the heart. Dictating means that he is dictating according to our desires. It's not necessarily that he's dictating and we are hearing how to come to him. Krishna says, Tesham Satatam Yuktanam Bhajatam Piti Purvakam. He says, those who are always endeavoring to worship me, who are also always endeavoring to serve me, I dictate how they can come to me. So this is a different type of dictation. He gives the direction how the living entity can approach him for those who actually turn to the Lord. And Prabhupada quotes the example from the Upanishads, like the super soul in the heart is like, and the soul, the living entity within the heart, they are both like two birds sitting within, on the branches of a tree. One bird is enjoying the fruit of the tree, and the other bird is simply acting as witness. Witnessing and waiting for the bird who is enjoying the fruit to turn to him. In the same way, the soul within the heart, the living entity that Krishna speaks about and throughout the Bhagavad Gita, who pervades, his consciousness pervades this body, he is the soul, the Atma, and then there's the Paramatma, or Super Soul, whose consciousness pervades all bodies. And that manifestation of the Super Soul within the heart is the other manifestation of the Absolute Truth, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti. Paramatma witnesses, and the example that is given, that he understands the desires that are there within the heart because he's closest, closer than anyone. He says, just like a person can understand the fragrance, Prabhupada, he says, a person can understand the fragrance of a flower simply by being close to it, the aroma comes. So in the same way, Krishna, who's the closest to us within the heart, is super soul, he knows what our desires are, and he acts in such a way to facilitate our desires. So he dictates, because we can't do anything without his sanction. And Prabhupada even gives the example, he says, just like a parent who has a young child who's very persistent, and if you have parents with young children, I'm sure you know what it means to have a child who's persistent, and sometimes a child is so persistent that finally, as a parent, you'll say, okay, go ahead. Right? You go into a supermarket with your child in the cart, on the chair, in the cart, you're walking through the aisles, and the child is reaching out in the aisles and pulling everything off the shelves. Very persistent. No, no, no. But so, because the child is persistent, then finally the parent may say, okay, here, you take it. Super soul who witnesses and sanctions, that's the function of super soul. He witnesses, he knows the desires, and he knows how persistent we are in the pursuit of our desires. And because one of his functions is his permitter, he says, okay. And then he facilitates. It doesn't mean that because he facilitates and dictates, okay, you can do what you want to do, that that's what he wants us to do. Right? Just like a parent may understand that the child is so persistent, but the parent would rather the child do something else. But the child won't listen because the child's so persistent. And so in the same way, the Supreme Lord, who's situated in the heart, he understands how persistent we are in the pursuit of our desires. And because we can't pursue it without his sanction, nothing, not a blade of grass moves without his sanction. Therefore, he said, okay, you can pursue it. Gives his sanction. So that's what Prabhupada is also explaining here. He said, he gives the example. He said that even in your rebellious condition, Krishna is giving you protection. And we said that rebellious condition, Krishna is giving you protection means he's okay, he's sanctioning. Whatever you like, you can have. Without Krishna's protection, you cannot live even for a second. So kind. But when you admit it, when you recognize it, then you become happy. Now Krishna is giving you protection, but you do not know it because you have taken your life at your own risk. Therefore, he has given you freedom. All right. Do whatever you like. As far as possible, I'll give you protection. As far as possible. Why? Because, and Prabhupada gives the example, just like the son, he gives the analogy. He said, just like the father, the child who has grown up doesn't care for the father, he's acting freely. What the father can do? All right, do whatever you like. But the child who is fully under the protection of the father, he takes more care. It's natural. Why is it natural? Because if one is placing himself in a fully dependent position on the decision of the Lord understands, well, he's come to me. How can I refuse? How can I neglect? He's coming to me. I can't neglect. And because the Lord is very naturally inclined to reciprocate for those who are always dependent upon him, therefore the Lord dictates in a different way. He dictates in a way how that living entity can come to him. Tesham nityabhiyoktanam yogakshema vaham yaham. Krishna says, to those ananyas chintayatomam yajanakpayupashantini, to those who are always meditating upon me, right, trying to endeavor to come to me, then I help them. I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Whatever their efforts they're making, I keep it intact and I preserve it. And if they lack something, from within the heart, I see it within the heart, I destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. I bring them closer to me. So, we can't hide from Krishna. Prabhupada in one lecture, he says, foolish people think that devotional service is a kind of flattering of the Lord to get some, like, some exchange. He says, but they don't understand that the Lord is not interested in a mercantile relationship. He says, foolish people who don't understand what devotional service is, they think that, oh, I'm doing this for Krishna because I want to flatter him. I want to get his attention so I can. But Krishna already knows why we're approaching him. We may think, I'm going to get his attention so he'll give me what I want. But he already knows what we want and why we're trying to get his attention. Now, of course, Bhagavatam also states, Akama Samakama Vamoksha Kama Udharadi Divena Bhakti Yogina Yajita Purusha Param, that whether one is filled with material desires, whether one has no material desires, or whether one is desiring liberation, a person who has broader, intelligent person, he must by all means, he must worship the Lord. Because even if one has some material desire, if one nonetheless approaches the Lord and tries to please the Lord, even with the desire for some material fulfillment, then the Lord can purify, just like what he did with Dhruva Maharaj. Right? Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom. Dhruva Maharaj wanted revenge against his stepbrother. He wanted revenge against his stepmother. You know, he had a lot of issues. he wanted them resolved. You know, young 5-year-old boy, you know. And even when Narada Muni, he went to his spiritual master, Narada Muni, and Narada Muni said, "You're just a 5-year-old boy. Why are you coming to me and performing all these studies? Why don't you go back when you're a little bit older?" Dhruva Maharaj says, "You don't understand. I'm a kshatriya." You know, he was tested by Narada, but Dhruva Maharaj was determined. Of course, Narada Muni gave him a method by which he could actually achieve the darshan of the Lord. He gave him the mantra to chant, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He recommended the various methods by which he could actually achieve the darshan of the Lord, because he was told, if you want to get all these things, you should go to the forest and look for the Lord. So he was determined he wanted to find the Lord. But by the mercy of Narada Muni, his spiritual master, and by the mercy of the Lord, upon having achieved the darshan of the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj, although he had some desires that he wanted fulfilled, and even though the Lord fulfilled those desires, Dhruva came out thinking, "What have I done? I was such a fool." He even said, "I came here looking for a piece of broken glass and I found the most valuable jewel. I came here for something so insignificant, the kingdom. I came here for such insignificant things. But now, having achieved the darshan of the Lord and the fulfillment of my desires, I realized I was such a fool." And this is also explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the verses spoken by Lord Chaitanya, he quotes Krishna as saying, "said when my devotee engages in my devotional service, but at the same time he wants the opulence of material enjoyment, he's like a fool who willingly gives up ambrosia to drink poison." And he said, "Why should I give this fool material prosperity? Instead I shall induce him to take shelter of my lotus feet and make him forget." And then he quotes a verse from the Bhagavatam which states that when my devotee worships me for fulfillment of some desires, then I fulfill his desires in such a way that he won't come back and ask for me again. That's Krishna's kindness. So even if we have some desire, better, an intelligent person should at least approach Krishna. Should at least approach. Why? Because Krishna, he's Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He's the best friend of all living entities. He's always eager to bring those who worship him closer to him. But he's waiting. He's waiting for us to approach him. And therefore, as Prabhupada is explaining, that for those who approach him with a desire to please him, then the more is more inclined to reciprocate and give them full protection. Prabhupada, in another lecture, he gives the example that the sun is spreading its rays everywhere, but a blind person may not be able to take advantage of the sun as much as a person who can see. So in the same way, he says, the Lord is actually giving his mercy to everyone, but not everyone can fully benefit from that mercy. And he says, the one who's opened to the full benefit of the Lord, to the full mercy of the Lord. Some may approach the Lord for some partial benefit. And he even explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvidha Bhajanti Mam, four types of persons will approach me. Those who are distressed, those who are inquisitive, those who are in need of money, and those who are wise. And they may approach the Lord, but for one who approaches the Lord for relief from distress, then what happens is that he may get relief from distress. But then after getting relief from distress, thinking, now that I have relief from my distress, I don't need the Lord anymore. He took care of me. And we may start, after getting relief from distress, we may think, well, now I can go on about my old ways again. He must have taken care of me. He must always be taking care of me. So he's a partial recipient of the Lord's mercy. He may get some relief from distress, but simply to have relief from distress is not the full mercy of the Lord, because there's more to life than relief from distress. And that, what's more, we always said, as we said, four types of person: one who wants relief from distress, those who want wealth, those who are inquisitive. So one who wants wealth, well, as we said, Dhruva Maharaj, he got wealth, but he realized, now that I have this wealth, I was a fool. What is the value of this wealth? I came before the person who could bestow the greatest benediction upon me. In fact, there's an interesting point that's brought out in the Srimad Bhagavatam about Dhruva Maharaj. Is that it's explained that, you know, for those of you, I'm sure most of you are aware of who Dhruva Maharaj was. He was a 5-year-old boy. He wanted to sit on the lap of his father, who was the king, Maharaj Uttanapad. But then Maharaj Uttanapad had two queens, and one of the queens told Dhruva, "Well, you can't sit on your father's lap. My son is more qualified to sit on his lap. As if you want to sit on your father's lap, then you'll have to take birth in your next life in my womb, and then you can sit on your father's lap." And Dhruva, he became so overwhelmed, he went to his went to his mother with seething and distress, what had happened. And his mother told him, instructed him, Suniti, she said, "Well, you should, if you want, you should take up the good instructions of your stepmother. She told you to go to seek out the Lord and get the benediction of taking birth in her womb, so why don't you go to the forest and seek out the Lord?" So Dhruva had these, as we said, these issues. He wanted revenge. He wanted, you know, revenge against his stepbrother. He wanted revenge, you know, against his stepmother. And even his father, Uttanapada, didn't say anything when his stepmother said that. And he was quite angry with his father. Why didn't he speak out? So he was thinking, I'll have a kingdom even better than my father's. I'll have a kingdom even better than my grandfather. Even better than my great-grandfather. He was thinking, that's what he wanted. And that was his determination. So, as we said, he went to the forest, came in contact with Narayana Muni. Narayana Muni gave him instructions, gave him a mantra to chant, gave him a sadhana to practice, perform severe austerities, very severe austerities. And as a result of executing everything that was instructed him by Narayana Muni, the Lord appeared to him. And when the Lord appeared to Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj was so overwhelmed, he began offering prayers to the Lord and actually started praying to the Lord in a devotional way. He started praying, he said, "Please always keep me in the association of your devotees," and so many other things he said. But the Lord, when he appeared to Dhruva Maharaj, the Lord didn't pay any attention to anything that Dhruva was saying. when the Lord spoke to Dhruva, the only thing he said was, well, Dhruva, your stepbrother is going to go to the forest and he'll be killed. And your stepmother, she will go to the forest having heard of that, and she'll be devoured by a forest fire. And you'll get a kingdom. And he said, told him about the kingdom he would get, like a pole star. And he told him how he will achieve that kingdom after he leaves this world, and he instructed him how to rule in this world, the continuation of king in this, while in this world, and how he would be able to rule this world and not be get the results of sinful reactions. And then the Lord left. And after the Lord left, Dhruva Maharaj was thinking, wait a minute. The only thing he spoke about were all the things I was thinking about before, my past desires. He must think I'm duplicitous about all the things I just told him now. I spoke in a devotional way, but he didn't even acknowledge the fact that I spoke to him about wanting to live in the association of devotees. He didn't acknowledge anything. The only thing he acknowledged is what I was thinking about before. And then Dhruva Maharaj, he was thrown into an ocean of lamentation. He was lamenting. I was a fool. Of course, his lamentation was purifying. It was very purified. Sometimes, to become purified, we have to lament. And, of course, the Lord, who is very expert, he knows how to bring his devotee closer to him. So, as we quoted before, he may make an arrangement that, yes, I'll fulfill the desire of my devotee, but in such a way that he won't ask me again for the same thing. He won't come back and ask, because he realizes, what is that desire in relationship to devotional service to the Lord? It's insignificant. What is that desire in relationship to getting the full mercy of the Lord, the full protection of the Lord? The Lord is capable of offering much more protection than to protect this temporary physical body. Much more protection. If we understand that we're eternal living beings, this protection goes beyond the protection of this temporary physical body. How many times is he going to have to come in after one body, the next, the next, and the next? Each time have to come in and protect it. But everyone, one of them, is destined to die. So what does it mean to have the protection of the Lord? Only a foolish person thinks and prays that only for the protection of this body, but he knows that real protection of the Lord, the full mercy of the Lord, not the temporary mercy, which is relief from distress, fulfillment of wealth, or, you know, some other material fulfillment. This is temporary. They get they make some temporary connection with the Lord. But a devotee is one who wants to make a full connection. A full connection. And that full connection, Krishna very clearly states, is only achieved by those who engage in devotional service, who worship me with love. Desham satatam yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. To those who are always endeavoring, worship me with love. Krishna says, I give them the understanding how to come to me. And what does it mean, how to come to me? Does it mean it's all over when we come to him? That's it. It's all over. I've come to him. I've achieved the goal. What do I do then? Do I live in the void? What does it mean to come to Krishna? Real protection of the Lord means that when the Lord reciprocates and actually accepts that devotee, accepts that soul, one who is fully dependent upon him, the Lord protects him by keeping him eternally engaged in his loving devotional service. Eternally. And not only does it mean protection in terms of Nityo Nitya Nam Chaitanas Chaitanaya Nam. Prabhupada quoted that verse. I'm just quoting Prabhupada. What Krishna is described as he's the eternal living being and he's protecting, he's maintaining all eternal living beings. It's not simply protection of the body. But he's maintaining everyone by engaging them in a loving devotional service and reciprocating. How does he reciprocate? Not by filling our bank balances. Not by giving us, a fancy car or taking care of his temporary body, but he reciprocates by giving us the experience of that pleasure that he himself experiences. He actually gives that pleasure to that living entity, engages that living entity eternally in devotional service, which is actually the perfectional state of life, of existence. Now, in order to achieve that protection, all we have to do is simply have faith that that's the goal of life. That's all. All that Krishna says is that if you want to come to me, just make the endeavor. And all he asks is that you glorify me, you hear about me, you tell others about me, and try to remember me. That's all he asks. Manmana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru. Krishna says to Arjuna, you think of me, worship me, offer your homages to me, you'll come to me. Now, of course, Krishna also says, if you can't think of me all the time, which is not so easy, because sometimes people say, well, if that's all it is, then I count me out. How do I think of Krishna all the time? I got to go to work, I got to deal with my clients, I got to satisfy my boss, I got to satisfy my wife, I got to satisfy my kids. How am I supposed to think of Krishna all the time in the midst of all that? So Krishna says, well, I know it's not always so easy to always think of me. So he says, if you can't think of me constantly, then simply follow regular principles of bhakti yoga, and this way gradually you'll develop the desire to tame to me. He says, if you can't think of me, then follow these regular principles of bhakti yoga this way. Cultivate the desire to attain to me. Krishna is there, ready to help and to protect every step of the way. And Prabhupada says, gives the example, as long as you're facing the sun, everything is bright. When you turn away from the sun, you see darkness. He says, you see your shadow. Shadow's behind you. There's no shadow between you and the sun. To see the shadow means you have to turn around and see the shadow behind you. But when you're facing the sun, everything is bright. So in the same way, as long as we're endeavoring to approach Krishna from wherever we are, then Krishna is ready to help us along that way. And therefore he says, this is the type of endeavor we should make. Try to remember me. Speak about me. Hear about me. These things are very pleasing to him, and therefore he says, I will give you the understanding. I'll protect you. Even in the midst of the greatest difficulty, the Lord is ready to protect. So therefore, this is all very much connected to, as we are reading, Prabhupada was describing in this verse, Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitaro Nishena. He said that he's quoting Bhagavad Gita. He says, Samoham Sabhabhuteshu Name Dveshosti Napriha. I'm equal to everyone. No one is my enemy. Everyone is Krishna's son. How he could be enemy to Krishna? He is son. That is not possible. He is friend to everyone. But we are not taking advantage of his friendship. That is our disease. That is our disease. He's friend to everyone. But one who is recognizing, he can understand that Krishna is giving me protection in this way. And then Prabhupada says, this is the way to happiness. You cannot be happy otherwise. He says, just like he says, if you know I have a patron, Prabhupada uses this, I have a patron, I have a friend, I have somebody who's watching out for me every step of the way. If you know in everything that you do that Krishna's right, he says, aren't you happy? You feel sheltered, you feel protected. He says, but if you take your life on your own responsibility, you act independent. You do everything for yourself, never taking into consideration that Krishna's there. How can you be happy? You may try to be happy, but how can you? You're always in anxiety because you're always wondering what the result will be. It's always calculated. And you have to live in fear. Is this the right decision? Is that the right decision? I don't know. I'm investing so much here. I have to make a decision. Well, I get what? One has to live in constant anxiety. But if one learns the art of how to depend on Krishna in everything, Krishna says, this is how you become free from fear. Masuchaha. Abandon varieties of religion, surrender to me. And what is it, surrender? Starting to lose my voice. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that in the commentary to the verse of Bhagavad Gita, he says all the components of surrender that are found in the verse Sarvadharma Puritaja are found in the previous verse, which is Manmana Bhava Bhakta Bhajajiva. This is what it means to surrender. We always have to think of Krishna. I try to think of Krishna, remember him, do what is pleasing for him. Try. Prahlad Maharaj also, in the same verses in the Bhagavatam, he says to his friends, in the same way, this one he says to his friends, the other one which was quoted was to the Lord. He says to the friends, in the same way that one sees himself and takes care of himself, take the devotional service of the Supreme Lord, who is the super soul of the heart of all living beings. He's telling his friends, I know how much effort you make to take care of yourself. And the same energy you use to take care of yourself, use that energy and try to please the Lord. Someone may, well, if I do that, then who's going to take care of me? That's always the dilemma, the balancing act. How much to depend on Krishna, how much... Well, if I always think of Krishna, then who's going to think of me? I got to think of me. Krishna says, depend on me. And all activities depend on me. Work under my protection. Such devotional service, you should be conscious of me. If you're conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. But if you don't act in such consciousness, and act through false ego, not hearing me, you'll be lost. And so, Krishna makes the method to come to him so easily accessible. Anybody, even a child, anybody can understand this simple point. But because we're so complex, we have a tendency to make it so difficult. So, in this way, Prahlad is praying to the Lord, those who are in a bodily conception of life, they're neglected and not cared for by you. They can't do anything for their betterment. What it means, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, is that whatever remedies they may accept, although perhaps temporary beneficial, they're certainly impermanent. And then he gives the example. He gives the example of like a physician in medicine. It's just like a person may be very diseased and he may be told, oh, we have the best doctor. So it may be temporarily beneficial to know you have the best doctor. But does that mean the patient won't die? You may get the best doctor, the best medicine, but that doesn't mean the patient still won't die. So, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, in the same way, the Lord protects everyone. And we already said what protection means. Real protection means he's always ready to protect his devotee in all circumstances. Whether Narayana Paraksave Nakutaschanya Bibhati Svarga Pavagra Narakesh Tuyatu Darsha. Devotees are never fearful of any condition of life because they know whether they're in heaven, whether in hell, whether they're liberated, it's all the same. Because the devotee is one who always feels the constant protection of the Lord simply to be engaged in his loving devotional service. And therefore, as Govinda Das says, Bajahure Manashi Nanda Nandana Abhaya Charanara Vindare, my dear mind, please meditate on the divine, the lotus feet of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. He goes by meditation. Upon him one becomes fearless. This is how to become fearless in this world. I oftentimes use Prabhupada's simple analogy that is so graphic and so simple to understand. That the kitten, the kitten and the mouse, that the cat comes and, and whenever she wants to take her kittens and protect, she lifts the kittens up by her mouth and her teeth, by the back of the neck, and carries them to some place where they're protected. And the kitten is thinking, this is my mother. She's coming to take me home. But the same cat shows her teeth to the mouse. Same teeth, same mouth, same cat, but a different perspective. The mouse is very fearful, because that represents, for the mouse, that represents death. So in the same way, for a devotee who is practiced in being conscious of the Lord, dependent upon the Lord, and knowing how to act in the service of the Lord, he can be happy, free from fear, because he feels, he knows that under all circumstances, he's under the Lord's protection. Whatever condition of life the Lord may put him in, the Lord will always protect him. But if we act independently, make our own decisions all the time, then when that cat comes and shows her teeth, we run in fear, because we think this is an abrupt halt to my plans. We cannot overcome these abrupt halt to our plans. Right? Just as, who was it? Yamaraj, when he asked Yudhisthira Maharaj, what is the most amazing thing in the world? Ahanya hani bhutani gachatiya yamalayam. So the most amazing thing in the world is every single day, hundreds of millions of living beings are being sent to the kingdom of death. But still, everyone who's remaining is looking after a permanent situation. What could be more amazing than this? That he defines as the most amazing thing. Everyone's seeing it, from the insects to the animals, human beings. They're all, and everyone's thinking, I'm going to live permanently. And makes all arrangements to do so. So, Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, is praying to Lord Dashikadeva for his constant protection. And Srila Prabhupada, in his commentary that we quoted from, makes it very clear how to be happy in this world and the next. Simply depend on Krishna and learn how to depend on Krishna. It's a science. One has to learn it. One has to hear about it. One has to try to remember. And if we are fortunate enough to understand that the purpose and goal of human life is to know how to make progress in this direction, our lives can become successful. Any questions?
Maharaj, this question is from Dhru Maharaj's story, which you're mentioning. And after he has a personal association with the Lord, and after getting darshan, while he's ruling the kingdom, and you know, the later on Srimad Bhagavatam explains that his brother died and Dhru Maharaj loses his temper and started killing those yakshas. So much so that his grandfather has to come and instruct him to stop. It's kind of confusing, because one would think that after going through the austerity and seeing the Lord, one would be completely free of those kind of emotions, where he would start killing the yakshas. And again, towards the end of his life, Vishnuvitas comes and he actually leaves for the Vaikuntha plant. So these are all a little confusing. How do we see it in the right perspective?
Well, he was doing his duty. He was protecting. He just went up a little too far. And we can understand that somehow in that arrangement was the will of the Lord, because he had been purified. But there was a certain plan and the will of the Lord in the execution of his duties for him to act in that way. But the Lord did instruct him how to rule the world and how to not become entangled in the world and how to avoid reactions in the world, sinful reactions in the world. And as we know, Swayambhuva Manu did come and did instruct Dhruva to stop. So he was a kshatriya. He was a kshatriya. Kshatriya has to be angry. Arjuna had to be angry. Arjuna was a pure devotee, but he had to be. How can you perform your duty as a kshatriya and not be angry?
You said if one surrenders to Krishna, he gives first engages him in his devotional service, and also he gives a little bit of what he tastes to the devotee. Can you elaborate on that?
He gives a what now?
You said he gives a little bit of what he tastes to the devotee.
What he what?
Taste.
What he tastes?
Yeah, to the devotee. Can you elaborate on
that?
Oh,
what he tastes to the devotee. He gives the experience of bliss, of devotional service. That bliss can only be given by the mercy of the Lord. In fact, that's one reason why the Lord appeared as Lord Chaitanya, because as Krishna, he was seeing that my devotees experience so much bliss serving me, and it appears that they experience even more bliss in serving me than I experience in being served by them. So he wanted to taste that bliss. So he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to taste that bliss. But that bliss is Krishna's internal potency, which he only shares with those who are qualified to experience. And we oftentimes quote the verse. Rupa Goswami states it in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhukti Mukti Spriha Yavat Pisachi Vivartite. He says, Bhukti, the desire for sense gratification, Mukti, the desire for liberation. You're like two witches which haunt one like a ghost. As long as these two desires are still there within the heart, one will never be able to taste the bliss of pure devotional service. Why? Because Krishna is the giver of that bliss. And he doesn't give that bliss except to those who are qualified, who serve him without any desire for anything in return, which is bhakti. So only that bliss can come from Krishna. It's his internal potency. It's his swarup shakti. His internal potency. And Krishna explains that internal potency, Mahatma Nastamam Pata, Daivam Prakriti Mashita, Daivam Prakriti, the internal potency is available only to those Mahatmas who are fully engaged in my service. So that is what he wants to give. He wants to give them the bliss of service to him. But we can't taste that bliss as long as the heart is still filled with these contaminated desires. We can't experience it. We can only get a glimpse. It's like a slight. It's like a glimpse of it. Sometimes a little glimpse may be revealed, but it's not the full experience. Only those who are completely pure can actually understand what it means to love Krishna. So that is what he wants to give to everyone. And he says, what is that verse? As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. As they surrender unto me, I reciprocate with them accordingly. That's what he wants to give, the highest. He wants to give himself. That's the greatest. Nothing greater. In fact, is that verse also in the Bhagavatam is spoken by Narada Muni, where he's speaking to Yudhisthira Maharaj, and he's saying to Yudhisthira Maharaj, he said, "You're so fortunate, because not only can I see that Krishna is your guru, he's your God, he's the head of your family, but I see he's also your servant, because Krishna became the order carrier for Yudhisthira. He carried the order, you know, to Duryodhana. So he says, I see Krishna is also your servant." He says, "Krishna doesn't..." That means you must have devotional service to him. He says, "Krishna doesn't give devotional service so easily. He gives liberation very easily. But he doesn't give devotional service so easily, because when he gives devotional service, he has to give himself too. That's the power of devotional service. So that's what one gets. That's the bliss. Krishna gives himself to the devotee who's fully surrendered to him. Not only does he give himself, but as the Bhagavatam states, he subordinates himself to his devotee. And the Sadhyatu Mam Yogo, the Sankirdhamma Uddhava, he says, "Unalloyed devotional service rendered by my devotee brings me under his control. I can't be controlled by Sankhya. I can't be controlled by yoga. I can't be controlled by other..." These things don't... But unalloyed devotion, I become subordinate to my devotee and come under his control and come subservient to his desires. Krishna gives himself. What greater wealth is there to have than to have the possessor of all wealth under your control? That's the power of button. Okay, I can see we're moving them on to the next stage. So we'll stop here. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Narayana Swami ki
jai.